Welcome to Thrive with Confidence. This podcast provides insight into the Aquios Alliance, a buying group that connects private practices with trusted vendors and expert support. We will feature discussion with our vendor partners and optometrist members while we explore topics that will empower your independence.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Thrive with Confidence. This is Scott Klein, and today I'm joined by Robert Stensland, founder and principal architect with Optometric Architects. How are we doing today, Rob?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for taking the time again to be on here with us. I know this is your second time on, so this is fantastic. Just to recap for those who haven't had a chance to listen to the first one, tell us a little bit about how Optometric Architects can help our members.
Well, we like to try to be a value add to the membership, and working along with you guys is we want to be talking to the doctors and to your professor's clients on where they're at in the process. So when they're starting the process, looking for land, looking for space, it's not about hiring us initially. We're going to go through a process of why they should hire us and what we do as we go through this podcast. But really at the very beginning to them, we can just be a resource of where do I start? Who do I talk to? What realtors do I use? And that's just us trying to get to be some sort of an asset to what you guys put together with us as a vendor partner, but also lets the doctors know that they have some resources that they can go to talk to, at least to get their process started of where do I look, how much do I need, how big of square footage do I need, and just let them have something of somewhere to at least ask questions.
And how valuable is that to have to somebody who's starting out? And it's tough. There's a lot that our doctors know, but there's a lot that they don't at the beginning of the stages. And I love how you brought up it's how big of a space do I need? And you know, we're working with you. I've seen you do some really amazing things with some spaces that I never would have thought we could put something in there. And I think that's a common misconception for a lot of people that think that they need more space than they actually might.
Well, and also working with you guys, we look at it, we're not looking at it just as a piece of architecture. We're looking at it from a practice management idea too. You know, how are they going to use the space? Working with you and your doctors, we're starting to understand branding, what we're doing, where does this go? It's more than just getting in there year one, right? It's where this growth comes from. How do we deal with people? So all those things need to be discussed and thought about early, because that's really what their brand of what they want their practice to be gets developed between what we do and also what your organization does, Scott.
Well, and that leads perfectly into the next question I had is, how important is it to have an architect involved in a new build or a renovation project?
Well, it's so important in today's world for two reasons. The first reason is fairly obvious, which is the fact that most of these organizations, as far as building department, counties, anything associated with the building of a project or the interior space, they're relying more and more as they get less experience in their departments. They're relying more and more on contractors, which they tend to not want to, more to architects and engineers that they want things stamped, they want things reviewed, they want things designed to code. Even if you're working with optical suppliers or anything like that, their drawings are not architectural drawings. So most of these cities are leaning in. They want a professional to review it from the code aspect of it. And I know some builders say, I can have an architect, I can look at it, but the problem still comes into play. What does that really mean? What are you getting for the drawings? The second side of it, beyond the fact of actually getting it constructed, is what an architect can bring to the table is listening to your wants and needs. And understanding what you think you want and need is important, and we show that as an idea, but we also got to try to figure out where your want and needs are going to be in year three, year four, year five, right? Because they change. It's going to even change from an existing space to a new space or even your first startup. That's what our role is really, is trying to figure out from a practice management standpoint, from an architectural standpoint, what does that all mean as we design spaces?
That makes perfect sense. It's just because you have the space or we build the space out doesn't mean that it needs to be immediately utilized, right? It's something right. That we can we prepare for the future, and it's to know I have a room. I may not be putting instruments in it tomorrow, but I know that when the time comes that I have the ability to grow into that versus having to start from scratch and redesign something.
And the other thing, Scott, is in today's market, cost of land, cost of square footage, everything is expensive, cost to build. So we've got to be able to do this in the minimum amount of space, but not talk ourselves out of revenue, right? So there's some balance in there, and that's what an architect can do that understands optometry and working alongside of you guys is making sure that they understand there's a balance between square footage and the revenue model and from the patient care so that we build it the right size to get them to some point down the road. And that's how we work together.
Marrying the functionality with the beauty of the project, right?
Correct.
But I think that that's a common misunderstanding, I think, from some points. And people think about design, they automatically go to the interior design of it, what are my finishings going to look like? And they don't think about the fact that you have to have the bones before you can dress it up, knowing that that process works hand in hand between those initial drawings and the architectural build out. And what it's going to all look like at the end is important to know.
Yeah, when you look at a project, you're actually looking at it in several different ways. But the biggest way is you're trying to discover the brand of the practice, right? And that's the experience. The experience is what this is all about in today's market, because that's how you drive new patients. That's how you influence your patients. That's how you get referrals. That's what the space is trying to do. That's why we build new. It's not just about trying to get people through faster. It's what experience do they have? It's not just the interior finishes, because we can build a lot of beautiful buildings and do a lot of it. But if we can't get the process right and the flow right as part of that experience, then they're not going out and telling people that they know, hey, you got to come see Dr. X because it's just a great experience. They got me through. They took care of me. It was very professional. And I was able to walk out the door on a timely manner. And I felt like I was really helped. Okay, so that's part of the process of what the space needs to do.
Yeah, it can look really pretty, but it doesn't matter if you're bottlenecking four or five people in between going to pre-exam into their actual the exam lane. So looking at that in the design process, can a doctor make edits to the floor plan design?
Yeah, we typically don't put a limit on number of edits. It basically comes to a realization where we're either getting the needs and wants of the doctors or we're not. And that's very rarely. We know how to design optometry offices. What our process actually is doing is discovering how each doctor designs theirs. That's what I love about this industry is that every doctor is very unique. It's amazing how they practice similar. So when I'm in 1,000, 1,200 square feet, it's the same process as I'm in 5,000 square feet or 20,000 square feet on the really big one. So, you know, we have to design that process. So I can get a doctor to tell me what they want, their wants and needs, and give me everything. They can even give me sketches, and we can, until they see it and see how it flows, then visually they can start to understand what that means for them. Then we start editing because, hey, you know what? I thought that was a good idea, but it doesn't work, and then we change it. So as we go through the process with them, their involvement in the plan, that's why I always say at the end of the projects, and you'll hear us constantly, is people go, what a great project you did for a doctor. But I constantly say it's a collaborative effort, because when you walk into our clinics, you're going to see some value, style, how it flows that really reflects that practice on what they wanted their experience to be for their patients. And that it's in every building we do.
When you can definitely see the individuality in the work that you've produced. You look at the pictures and it's no two practices are alike. And that's what I respect about the work you guys do is you really truly do listen to what is the doctor want, but also who is this doctor? You find out about that person, and it's not a cookie cutter design, but there is something that works about an optometric practice, right?
Right.
And the layout, it's the way we do it. It's something that works, and it works for a purpose. So I think that, you know, you've done a nice job knowing how do you marry those two things together to make a design that's unique to the doctor, but also is unique to the experience for the patient.
Yeah, the biggest problem we have in today's market right now is having to create drawings very quickly because of the permit timelines, because of doctors' timelines, by the time they get the leases in place, by the time they need to get in there, the amount of free rent we have. So it seems to be getting quicker and quicker, which makes it a little bit difficult. But again, that more interaction back and forth between us and the lead designers before we turn it into our teams that actually will do the drawings and the interiors and everything really gets us as fast as we can move that through that process with the doctors. We keep the plans moving for those permit processes.
Yeah, we don't want to slow up the timelines any more than they already can, right?
Right.
It's seems to be just a crazy time that we're in. So you, it's, as far as timelines, I mean, you said that there's no limit to the number of edits that they can make, but they, you know, we like to get everything cleaned up and ready to go. Let's say that, you know, we get towards the end of that design process. Is there a time frame within that, or to make those final edits? This is when we're done, or can I make changes up until the end?
Well, we try to lock them as quickly as we can because we got to touch every drawing. The biggest problem if we make too many changes towards the end is that we have consultants, we have mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, things like that, and then we have to go back and redo drawings, and we get charges that way a little bit. It's really not too much in-house for us. But you have this process where you're running really fast so you can get it in a permit. They're going to have comments coming back from the local building departments, and then we update there, and then we can tweak the drawing a little bit. But the goal really, even for the doctors, because again, they can get spun into thinking that they're moving walls around a little bit too much that don't matter, right? The goal is that we try to, as quickly as we can, with as many edits as we need to do, get a plan and a flow done so that we can start worrying about not the flow anymore, what's happening in every room so we can get the rooms right. So we have a process once we get the flow done that we go back in and now we start to talk to their staff. What's going on in that lab? What are they doing? What piece of equipment do they need? We got to get to that level for that practice to be successful on how the rooms work.
So what you're saying is it's important to trust your process, right? You've been doing this long enough to know. And so I think that having that trust in the person that's designing and doing the drawings, that's you guys know. And so I think it's important for people to hear that. Trust the process, trust the person that's doing the work, and it's all going to end up the way that it should.
And we can always adjust on something that's very important, but we all understand that, we have what, you know, not necessarily buyer's remorse, but the idea that you can have your drawings done and you can everything else, and then you can see somebody else's clinic and go, hey, I really like that piece. Well, yours has that uniqueness too. You just, it hasn't come out yet and you haven't seen it yet. So just, yeah, like you said, trust the process of how we get to the drawing sets, and you'll be very happy.
So there's obviously, I mean, there's choices among choices out there for a doctor to be able to make when it comes to, architects. Why should a doctor choose you and your team rather than Joe's Architects down the street from them?
Well, I'm in the industry. I do other type of architecture, but I started this about 10, 15 years ago, and I've been putting a lot of effort into it. And I built the firm around this. The big reason is pretty simple. And that is that an owner, a doctor, I think knows exactly what they think they want. And I say it that way because they can go tell that to an architect, and that architect's going to draw up what they think they want. The problem with that is that doesn't build in the growth side. That doesn't build in the expertise of what something we did in North Carolina, and you might be located in Indiana, but we can show you that idea that you've never seen before, you've never practiced because you haven't practiced in that bigger space yet. So we're going to be bringing ideas to you, even off of your plan that you like or not. A lot of doctors, they could do their plan, and we like to say, your plan's going to be successful. We're not going to try to say that only ours is the best one ever, right? But the reality is going to be is through our process, not just working with us, but through the process working with Optometric Architects as a team, we're going to go through things that you haven't seen, you haven't thought of practicing, what your staff hasn't seen yet, and that through that variation, working through the plan, they're going to have something that is not only good for them moving from year one, it's also going to allow them to grow year three and year seven, because we can't think that a building that we're doing now or a space, we're going to run out of space too quickly. So we have to understand how the planning works from adding equipment, adding staff, everything else. So we're thinking beyond where walls go. Like I said, it comes back to what you guys bring back to the client and what we're doing. It's more about the process of practice management, how the practice grows inside of this plan. That's what we bring to the table because we've done so many of them. We've heard doctors that want to do things a certain way. Like you said, everybody's unique. There's things that pick up that we've done in other practices that don't work for somebody else. But they've seen it, and they can say, they've eliminated it and say, I know why it doesn't work, but what if we do this instead? So what it really does is allows us to keep customizing plans, and our plans are so different now than they were 2 years ago. So it's just amazing the process that we go through with every doctor and the learning curve that we have and the learning curve the doctor will have of how the space needs to work for him or her.
Yeah, I'm sure that the ever-changing times have kept you on your toes of how you once designed a space to how you design it today.
Yeah, with the equipment expansion, with everything that's going on, with dry eye coming into the equation, how we're doing those suites, and just how we're interacting social media with the opticals and everything else. And it's a constant changing design. You know, the stuff we've done 4 years ago works really well, but probably some of the stuff we're doing there isn't in some of our new designs for a lot of different reasons. So we keep the process of learning from everybody.
Yeah, it's great to see our industry change the way that it has, and to know it's no longer, our practices are not just a place that somebody is going to get their prescription for their eyeglasses or contacts and getting their product and leaving. There's the medical model has grown so much over the years, and I'm sure that that's been a huge influence as to how you design a space out as well.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to the concept that I talked earlier. It's about the experience, right? And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give people and our patients and our clients reason to interact with this building. And they're not coming because of any name on the building, because they're coming because of the doctors and the care that they get. So part of the whole experience that they're having is how to design the space, what happens in the space, and what services that doctor wants to provide as part of their brand and a part of their care, and how and where that medical component comes, because they're coming to see the doctors. That's why we're private practitioners. And that's why this industry, I think, is strong, is because that's why they want to come back to be serviced and to have somebody take care of them versus going to the internet.
So obviously, you know, if somebody's going to come to you and they can get their floor plans, they can get everything drawn out, you've definitely shown that that you understand the industry, you understand that what a patient needs on top of what the doctor needs. What other expertise can optometric architects offer to a project?
Well, that's probably becomes that third reason that I didn't discuss when I said there was just two of having an architect. What that architect actually is the liaison between the owner and the contractor. The contractor is the most important piece. That's the main relationship the doctor will have, because that's who they're seeing every day. That's who they're interacting with. It. So we're part of the process of making sure we build a contractor that the doctor wants. And then there are projects that go south when we try to help through the process to make sure that they understand what's going on. But the other thing that we're doing is looking over, once our drawings are created, we look at photographs, look at what's going on. We don't really do what's called practice administration, where we're actually there every day in meetings. But we're acting as a liaison where the contractor can call us, ask us questions. The owner can call us and ask us questions to make sure that the contractor is building to the drawings that we created, because that's what he needs to do. If he follows the drawings, and then if we do any minor changes the doctor might see once he sees it in person, then all of a sudden we can have a successful project.
You cannot underestimate the importance of having that liaison to speak to the contractors. And I think that, you know, there are people that they can look at a floor plan and say, okay, yeah, I get this and I know where this room should be and this is what I like and what I've talked to you and your team about. But there's a lot of things, there's that inside baseball that when it comes to the actual build out. And I've heard it time and time again. You know, you'll have, somebody will be talking to the contractor, and contractors have questions, and all of a sudden, you know, this person's like, this is outside of my scope of knowledge. And so I think to have somebody to be that voice for them and for the project is extremely important.
Yeah, because when we're done with our drawing packages and our process with the owners and everything else, what we're looking for is contractors that the owners like, and we're looking for contractors that the owner thinks does great quality and will help them through that process. They don't have to have, they do not need a whole lot of experience in optical, because our drawings is going to teach them how to build an optometry building. We just need their skill sets to be there to make the project smooth and successful for the doctor so he can stay with his patients as much as possible and not be called over and say, hey, where do outlets go? Where do things go? He doesn't need to be that level. He can be, but he doesn't have to be. So it really gives him some flexibility of how he wants to run his project and how interactive he is with it or not.
How about the, well, I'm going to call them the little things, but, you know, towards the end of a project now, you know, we've got a floor plan. We've got, you know, everything is laid out. We've got the design per se. I'm terrible with colors and what, you know, the actual visual aesthetic of my practice. What expertise does your team offer as far as that goes?
Well, you know, that starts back in the opticals. The opticals can be custom designed, which means they're just built locally by cabinets, and we're drawing those up. The opticals can be hybrid, which is what we do a lot of today, which is working with all the major vendors in the optical world. They can lead, depending on who the owner wants, they can lead the interior design pieces. Our interior designs will always be involved in the project. It's whether or not they're leading the project or not, because even if we get from an optical design where, let's say, they go to iDesign, or OMG out of California, the reality is they're going to give them all the finishes for the frame displays, but they're not going to deal with what are we doing in the break room? What are we doing in these other areas? So we fill in the gaps, or we lead it, or whatever, as far as the team goes. But either way, we never go away. And they're interacting with my teams here, which I have lead CAD people, lead project managers, and interior designers. So the project becomes seamless no matter what piece they want to use or not from other vendors, including interior design vendors that sometimes they have somebody they've worked with before. We just stay involved all the way through the process. So to answer your question, what happens is all of those colors, the samples are sent to them, it's brought in, no matter how the team's put together, Optometric Architect sits at the top of this and makes sure everything gets done.
And when you talk about the uniqueness of your service, how amazing is that? That once again, that a doctor hires you and your team, they've got that partner with them throughout this project to know that somebody has their back all the way through. And it's not going to be something that is here's a drawing with some lines and some measurements on it, and here you go. Have a great day. The ownership that you take throughout the entire project is very impressive.
Yeah, it's the only way in today's world, because owners see things from different areas, and doctors, they see wants and needs from different areas, and different people are talking to them. We just want to make sure that somebody's coordinating that all the way through. So even doctors that, like I said, that say they want this piece and they want that piece, or they like what's going on, we just need to make sure that the contractor understand what he's building so the owner gets what they want at the end.
Okay, so I have to ask this, and I just because I want to know, what is the most unique design or design aspect that you have seen for a practice?
Well, I think that really runs a lot of gambit, and probably my most favorite one was in Arizona. It's on my website. She had a dog door. She had a dog that she wanted in her practice, that she loves her dog, and that dog would come out every day, and it's in photographs all over the offices and everything else, and all day long that dog would go outside and inside and be everywhere in that practice. So that was the first time I'd ever done one like that. So
I love it. The dog partner in the practice.
Correct.
That's fantastic.
Lake Havasu, and that's on my website, and you'll see the dog in some of the photographs.
Oh, I love it. I had to know. I'm sure you've seen some fun stuff over the years, and so wanted to know that. Well, obviously, you know that we have always valued you as a partner in the Aquios Alliance. What does the partnership with the Alliance mean to Optometric Architects?
Well, again, we talked about it a little bit earlier. It's this idea of there's some percentage discounts, and I don't even have all that in fresh in my mind. You guys will know that. But there's also the idea of dealing with us at the very beginning of the process is really the biggest advantage when you're calling us and you're associated with you guys. The reality is we understand that we're part of the beginning process, and we all understand, including you guys, that these processes can take a long time, figuring these leases out, finding the right property. So we're involved all the way through of really that decision process that gets you to the point of saying, okay, now I'm ready. We haven't designed anything. We just know that you've told us you want to be a two-doctor practice in 3 years. We need about this much square footage. That just gives us the guidance of what's going on. So being associated with us and Aquios is just this idea of we're all team players at the very beginning, and even your other vendor partners are part of this process with us. Talking with realtors, and we're talking frame display companies and things like that. So we're all working together at the very beginning to help everybody get to that first point to say, okay, I'm now ready. I found a space. Now what? But we have to service that front end of it, because otherwise you just can't get there, because you don't know what you're looking at. There's so many options. There's so many things buried in leases. You just need to reach out to this expert that we can provide. Part of your other team vendor partners that you guys have can really help that process.
That's fantastic. Well, I know that I love getting the opportunity to work with you and your team, and I've as always enjoyed the opportunity to get to talk to you. It's always a joy and a pleasure to get to discuss your what you and your team do. Is there anything else that that our listeners need to know about Optometric Architects that we haven't talked about?
No, it's just we're excited to keep on growing as a company. And like I said, being able to practice our craft all across the United States, it allows us to meet unique people all over the United States, from all the way to Texas to Florida to the East West Coast up into Canada. We get to meet a lot of interesting people. And like I said, every project to us is very unique. And we get to meet a lot of interesting people. And it's amazing the diversity that we have across all these different the United States and up in Canada. So we appreciate the opportunity to work with you guys.
And we appreciate the opportunity to get to work with you as well. And I urge everybody listening to go out and check out Optometric Architects' website. It's a beautiful site, and they have their portfolio on there that shows some of their amazing work that they've done. You can find them at optometricarchitects.com. That is optometricarchitects.com. They also have various social media outlets as well. Once again, I urge that you go on there and check them out. If anybody's interested in learning more or just wanting to get in touch with Rob and his team, please feel free to reach out to us at info@aquiosalliance.com. That's info@aquiosalliance.com, and we'll get you in touch with Rob and his team. Make sure you also check out our Facebook page to see what's going on in the world with us, and to find our next episode of Thrive with Confidence. Rob, I thank you so much for your time again today. It's, as I said, always a pleasure to get the chance to talk to you, and I hope that it's not long before we get to chat again.
Sounds great, Scott.
Thank you so much, and you everyone have a wonderful day.